This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is November 15, 1982. The interview is taking place at the home of Mung Neil Johnson and is being conducted by Inger Carr. What is your full name?
Mung Neil Johnson. You want my birth name? Tusvik. Tusvik.
Tusvik.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
T-O-R-S-V-I-K.
Hmm. Does that mean anything, or is it an old family name?
Well, it's an old... No, it's from a family farm in old days, but it's centuries old since then.
Is it?
Yeah. So, and until not so long ago, there was the only family in Norway that had that name. Then we found out somebody else up in Andalsnes had taken the same name.
Oh.
But somebody in the family wanted to protest. You can do that.
Yes.
But we didn't think there was any sense in that, so we said no. But
Tusvik, what does it mean? Do you know?
Tusvik, Tus, you know, God, Tur, from that. It comes from, yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
When and where were you born?
In Kristiansand, southern part of Norway.
April 26, 1908. Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
My father was Adolf Tusvik, full name Adolf Andreas Tusvik. My mother was born in Arendal. She was Hanne Christine Tønseth.
Tønseth?
Tønseth, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about them. What did they do?
Well, my father was a manager of one of the bigger lumber yards in Kristiansand. The biggest in Kristiansand, but one of the big ones in southern Norway. Headquarters was in Byglandsfjord up in Setesdalen.
Uh-huh.
My mother was a teacher. She was one of the first one who was a professor in Norway.
Was she really?
Yeah. She never worked at it because she married my father. So she didn't work at it, but she had with two of her friends, they were, I don't remember the date of that, but she was. If you've heard about Anna Wexelsen, Evang Wexelsen was one of them, and Anna Settler.
Mm-hmm.
They were two of her friends. It was the same time as she was.
Oh, they got their degree at the same time?
Yeah. My mother never worked at it. She worked as a teacher for many years. She liked to work with the small kids.
Oh, I see.
Did.
I'm saying she didn't teach at the university, but
no.
She did teach. Elementary school?
Yes, she was in from first to seventh grade usually, and she wouldn't work in the university at all.
Oh,
I don't know reason why, but unless she married my father.
Yeah, well, she felt that took more time than
what
away
suppose
from the family.
She would have to live in Oslo and all. I know the only one was Anna Settler. She was Tante Anna, as we call her. She worked as a... And Anna Fucht was another one. She ended up as a missionary in China.
Oh, what was her last name?
Fucht.
V-O-G-T.
V-O-G-T? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had three Tante Annas. They were all my mother's classmates.
Oh, they weren't really your aunts, they were
just
real good friends. Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then your mother worked after she was married then?
She worked until just before she died.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even when your children were little?
Yeah. We had a grandfather living with us, and he was a nursemaid.
Oh, I see.
And you couldn't get a better one.
How many children were there?
We were five.
Tell me about
four.
Four.
And older sister, she still lives in Kristiansand.
What's her name?
Hjørdis Sørvik.
Sørvik.
Yeah.
Did she do anything? Or
she was working in the telegraph office.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, Harald Tusvik, was one of the ones who was killed by the Germans during the war, executed.
Oh, was?
He was a lawyer in Olesund.
In Olesund?
Olesund, yeah.
Oh.
And his wife is still living. His two sons are living in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
One is a doctor on Herum, Berum Hospital. He's the chief of staff there, I guess you can call him. And the other one is in the Udenriksdepartementet. In Oslo, that's the foreign office, office of state, I guess. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both there. Then I have the black marking of family, my sister Bergliot. She was a teacher. She married one you probably have heard about, Oversetter.
Who?
Oversetter.
No.
He was one of Quisling's right-hand men.
Oh.
So she's a black marking our family.
Especially since your brother was killed by
them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Where are they still living?
Yeah, they're still living in Oslo, both of them.
Oh.
So that's not anything I'm very proud of, but it's something I can't hide. Everybody knows about it. And.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
have they ever been sorry?
He has never been. I kind of suspected she has been because the whole family just cut her off. And she was very family-minded.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I do think that she was, felt bad about it later. But he's just as much a Nazi now as ever.
He's just as what?
He's just as much a Nazi as he ever was.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And he's still living in Oslo?
Yeah. Oh, he was in jail for 14 years, I think it was, before they let him out. He was a lieutenant in the military before the war, which made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was me. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest one. And
we'll talk about you later. How about this brother that was killed by the Nazis? Just because he was a lawyer, or was he doing underground work?
He was doing underground work. All the rest of the family were, except my sister Bergliot.
Oh.
Yeah, he was.
Well, had she married this man already?
Oh yeah, they were married. They went to to a school in teachers. Seminary, I guess you can call it, in Oslo, Lykkes Lærerskole, and where she met him, and they married before, and they thoroughly believed in this. That's the only excuse there is for them.
They believed in what?
In Hitler and Quisling, and they did. And
did they get that kind of training? You think they were at that school?
No, I don't think so.
Mm.
There was, I don't know. I don't know what made them do it, but they did.
Mm-hmm. Did they report your brother or something?
No. In fact, when he was sentenced to death, they even tried to help him. My brother-in-law was a personal friend of Hitler's, which isn't very prideful.
No, that's not much fun to remember that, is it?
And he, no, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to help him. To, if he had been sent to Germany instead of being executed, he would have probably been alive yet. But he helped an awful lot of people get over to England. Olesund is a fishing town.
Mm-hmm.
And he owned a part of two boats, I think, and he put them to disposition of the underground right away, and some of his friends too, and they helped people get over to England right away.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chance to flee Norway, but he knew that two of the ones who was caught with him would be executed, and they had nothing to do with it, so he stayed. And which make us pretty proud.
Yeah, I should say.
But Well, not used in dwelling in the sad stories. Uh-huh. His wife used to work in Nanaguan, and she's still living in Olsen. Uh-huh. She was very well known and very liked. And
what was her name?
Elsie. Elsie. She was born in this country.
Oh.
But when she was just 15 or 16, I guess, the parents left for Vossevangen in Bergen, where she lived, where she grew up.
Oh, I see. Now, were they Norwegian, so they...
Oh, yeah.
That was their home, and they'd just been in America for a while,
yeah,
and came back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and she's living in the... I was hoping she'd come over here, this she'd be talking about. Uh-huh. Taking a trip over here. And,
oh, she hasn't, though.
No.
Did you spell your maiden name, your last name? I don't know if you did.
Yeah, Torsvik.
Torsvik. Okay. How about your grandparents? Do you remember them?
Oh, yes.
Their names?
My father's father was my nursemaid.
Yes.
It was Georg Andersen Torsvik.
What?
Georg Andersen Torsvik.
Uh-huh. And his wife?
His wife was Margrethe Dorter, but she was dead before I was born, uh-huh, so I don't remember her. And they were born in the southern part of Norway, both. My grandfather was born in Torsvik. There was a ferry place where they ferried over one of the fjords there.
Oh.
And he was a real nice old guy.
What had he been before he moved in with you? What had been his profession?
He had a farmer.
Farmer?
He had a big farmer. And in
Torsvik?
No, he didn't have Torsvik. His nephew took over that, but he bought another one. It was called Rosendun. And he drove that farm until he retired, and then he moved in with my parents. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was dead.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So,
how about your mother's parents?
My mother's father was born in Røros.
What?
My mother's father was born in Røros.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's still family living up there.
What was his name?
Gerard Tynset. I guess in old days, Tynset.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, but as long as I know, it was Tynset with an R. My mother's mother was born in Arendal, and she had an awful funny name, Hanne Gum Bertha.
What?
Gum Bertha.
Bertha?
Yeah, not Gun, but
no, Gum.
Gum. Yeah. I never heard that before, but.
There's a food Gum, isn't there?
I guess there is.
You know what? So that's all one word? Gumbertha?
Yes, that's one. Yeah. That's one word.
Mm-hmm.
She died in, she was 74 when she died. And my grandfather died in 37, I guess.
What, were they farmers too, or?
No, my grandfather was telegraphbestyrer. He was head of
the telegraph
bureau? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was the head of that in the southern part of Norway.
Oh.
My grandmother was just a grand lady and nothing else.
Raising her family, huh?
Yeah, she had 12 kids.
Oh, that's a big job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, they were big families in Norway, usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me about your home. Can you describe it? Did you live in town?
Yeah, well, my father had a farm outside, close to Torsvik.
Mm-hmm.
And he built he was also a manager of a mine, Felsbar mine in Norway.
What kind of mine?
Felsbar.
What does that mean? F-E-L? Is it F-E-L?
Yeah, F-E-L-T-S. Bjar, Felsberg. It's well, that's the same name in here in England, in America. It's the same name, but probably pronounced different.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was, like I said, she was teaching. She was, and
you lived on a farm though.
When until I was 4 years old, they then the war broke out, and they sold the farm and moved to town, where my mother kept on teaching. My father was. Became manager of this lumberyard. So.
So that's the house you remember then, probably the one in town, the most.
Oh, I remember them all because we've been there so many times afterwards. The farm was a beautiful place, and I had one uncle and his family living on one side of us, but. Oh, I would say 2 English miles away from us. And we used to meet halfway with my cousins and play there. And the other side was a cousin of my father's living. It was not family. The whole place, it was just family. And we were pretty close until death took us apart, I guess. So...
Then you moved...
Yeah, and there I lived until I went to school, graduated from high school, and had 1 year of college. And
oh, you did all that right there in Christensen?
Yeah.
So,
and then I went
to. What about your home? Can you describe your house in town?
We rented a house in town. My father, we kept a part of the old farm for a summer home, and we had rented a big house in. A monstrous and cold. Ooh. We were 3 girls and 1 boy. We had our bedrooms upstairs, and sometimes we had to have all water basin with us up, and in the morning they were frozen. So it could be cold enough. Summers were beautiful and still are beautiful in Norway, especially long evenings are just wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you remember about your school?
Well, I went to first to grade school and...
You go up to far to go?
No. Right around the corner from where we lived. Then I went to high school and...
All the time your grandfather was home there. How was that, have you met a mother when you came home?
Well, we loved him. He was such a grand old guy. And my mother came home, she was... she took an awful lot of care of us, too. I mean, she was really a grand lady. She was just... But she was not very well. And she couldn't do the housework, so she loved teaching. So that was easier on her than housework and bringing up. No, she brought up us kids. You can't say anything else. But my father was a nursemaid, our grandfather.
So did you have to do the housework then, you girls, or
when we grew up? My mother died when I was 12. My older sister was 17, and she was going to telegraph school in Arendal at the time. So we had a housekeeper for a while there. And then my older sister took over, and after a while I took over. When I graduated from high school, I took over for a year. Went to 1 year of college at the same time, which wasn't very easy.
Were at the college right there in
Christensen?
What did you study?
Anywhere where I could get
all. No, I mean, what was your...
Oh, no, we...
Just general courses?
Just general courses, In a gymnasium in Norway is just general courses until you branch out later on. So then you could go into languages, which were my special...
That what you like the best?
Yes, definitely.
How about church life?
Lutheran Protestants always.
Uh-huh. And you and did your family go?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Was that important in your home?
Yes, it was very important in my home. And it still is.
Good. Yeah. The church was right there.
Yeah, there's a big church right in town. It was at one time the tallest building in Europe, outside of one factory chimney in Ruhr district. But the Germans took care of that. They shot it to pieces during the invasion.
But they didn't hurt the church.
Yes, they took off part of the steeple.
Oh, that was you talking about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that factory.
No.
How about Christmas time?
That's awfully hard to describe because there's nothing like Christmas time in Norway.
Oh, well, try to describe it. I'd like to hear.
Well, we started making cookies at least a month or 6 weeks before.
Uh-huh.
I still do.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's why, though.
Well, no, this was made for Lutefisk dinner in Olympia. And I don't remember very much when we lived on a farm. Then we had a lady come in and make lefse. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks or so before Christmas. No, I don't remember much about that. I remember the old lady, but as far as baking it, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And as though we had a farm, we had the butcher the cattle and the pigs and make rullepølse and stuff like that of it. But I was only 4 when we left, so it isn't very much. I remember it, but nothing.
You remember more in town. So what did you do in town to prepare for Christmas then, besides your cookies?
Oh, we made, of course we made all our Christmas gifts, or most of them. I remember when I first got my doll, a Borten doll, and I was so proud because it was Norwegian. It was a dolly could sleep. And I was so proud because I was the only one in the family who had that. You know, this is in 1914-15.
Sure.
And there wasn't that much toys, really, except homemade toys. And my mother wanted to buy me a little sewing machine, and I wanted the doll, got the doll. And then Christmas Eve, even Julebook, Christmas Day before Christmas. And everything was in order for Christmas. My brother had the duty of carrying in the wood, because there's all wood stuffs in Norway at that time. So he had that, he and my grandfather chopped the wood and carried the wood up and had it ready. And what I remember and what I hated was we cleaned the oil lamps. We didn't have electricity at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We got that in 1914. We got the first electricity there. But we had to clean the lamps and fill them with oil every day. And then we had a shelf out in the hallway where we had 7-8 lamps ready to go.
I see, for Christmas. So you
well, that was every day affair. It wasn't just Christmas. Then, of course, Christmas trees are never put up before Christmas Eve. You know. No, they have changed that, but that was... And we didn't see the Christmas tree before... after supper, Christmas Eve.
So you didn't decorate the tree?
Oh, no. My parents... That was customary. None of the kids saw the Christmas tree before, after we had a supper. Well, I'm ahead of myself here now, because 4 o'clock, there was a children's ceremony in church.
This was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. And we all, I guess the whole town was there. And when we came out, less than an hour, and we came out, all the bells in the whole of Norway started to chime for an hour.
That's beautiful.
Yes, it is. And what made it especially beautiful was when all of a sudden it could start snow a little bit at that time.
Yes.
And then, of course, we went home to the supper, which in my part of town was boiled catfish. Mm. Otherwise, it's a lot of time it's roast or something like that, or pork roast, usually.
Did you have boiled catfish?
We had boiled catfish. And all the southern part of Norway, that was usually, some people used lutefisk. We
what
didn't.
Else did you have with it?
Risengrynsgrøt, of course. Boiled potatoes and melted butter, never white sauce with a lutefisk at that time. We had melted butter and then we had risengrynsgrøt with an almond in it.
An almond in it? You'd on a plate with butter and sugar?
Oh yes, but we had a marzipan pig. You must have heard about that. I still got one up here. It's an old-timer one. And the one who got the almond got the pig. And then after that, we had to do the dishes. You couldn't see the tree before the dishes were done and everything was in order. Orderly people.
Yes, really are.
Yeah, still are. And then, when everything was in order, my father went into the parlor where the Christmas tree was there and rang the Christmas. We had a special bell.
Oh, you have one too.
Yeah. That isn't the one I had in my home. My sister has the old one, but that's exactly a copy of that one. And rang the bell, and then we could just storm in. And then, of course, you went around dancing around a Christmas tree for quite a while. We had to sing, sure, at least 10 Christmas songs before we could open a Christmas present for him. I would like to spend one Christmas in Norway again, but I guess I won't. There's too many of my people gone, isn't there? As in my old grandfather lived with us. You don't go partying the first day of Christmas.
Christmas Day, no.
No. That was for family.
And the church Christmas Day? Was that Christmas Eve?
Christmas Day.
You went to church Christmas Day in the morning?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christmas Day, too. But in our family, we went to Frupreken early, 6 o'clock in the morning. But there was regular service at 10:30 usually, mm-hmm. and that was all up to each individual. Mm-hmm. But we always had a lot of family come to see my grandfather when he was living. He was the oldest family member in the family at that time. So everybody come to wish him happy Christmas That was just family, nothing, nobody else. The second day of Christmas, you start branching out to go Yule book. You know what Yule book is? And started partying. And the party festivals didn't end before 12th of January, 20th day of Christmas. And, you know, people here, even people who's born in Norway, they never realized that we celebrated that long. But 20th day of Christmas was the last day of Christmas when the Christmas tree came down. In my family, we always had a children's party that day, so we could take down the Christmas tree. That was for friends and young family members coming in. We could be up to 30 people. I don't know how we got room there, but we did. And Christmas tree was taken apart.
Christmas Day, did you have any special kind of food?
Not as far as I remember.
Okay.
Except that we always had leftover risengrynsgrøt, this rice cream.
Mm-hmm. So you had that cold then?
cold and mixed with cream and sugar and it went like ice cream. It was awfully good. That was the leftovers, but we liked that as much, or even better than Riesling's good, I think.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And
you didn't have Vermagret, huh?
No, not in our part of the country. So.
Any other Scandinavian customs or folk beliefs that were particular for your family?
Well, let's see now. Oh, there must be. There's a lot of it, but but to pick out, I don't know. Because we had the Julebok. You know what Julebok is? Well, it's the same here in Halloween. They go.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the same. We were dressed up as dwarfs or elves and anything like that. And went around. Except really the 17th of May. That was a big holiday. And St. Hans, Midsummer Night, that was... But that was just not our family, that was everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in the southern part of Norway, they started marching the 17th of May. Earlier than most of the part of the country.
Mm.
And even during the war, my kids went out and got nabbed by the Germans.
Oh, you were there during the war?
Yeah.
Mm.
I came over in 1929. My husband had been over here since 1923.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Now, after you went to college, then you, what did you do?
I kept house with my father.
After your 1 year.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I decided I was going to go to America.
Now why?
Yes, there was one reason, and that seems kind of silly to me now, but it was a reason. I wanted to go into Stabæk Husmorskole.
Go to what?
Stabæk Husmorskole. In Oslo, Stabæk in Oslo, that's a training as a home economic teacher.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But to get in there, I had to have 1 year as a house worker in one place, continuously 1 year to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't see doing housework in Norway for anybody.
Oh, really? Why?
Oh, you were not anything in if you were working for wages and anybody else. So I decided I was going to America and get you in here.
Think it was
going to
be better being a housekeeper in America?
Yeah. Oh, I think so. At that time, a housekeeper or a house girl wasn't considered very much of anything. But it was something I had to have to get into Stabæk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, then a man with a came apart. I met my husband and we married. So
oh,
I never went
that off. Was here, huh? You have to tell about your trip over here first.
Well,
getting ready and what you took and how your parents felt about it and so forth.
My mother was dead.
Yes.
And my father, he wasn't too happy about it, but he agreed that it would be a good idea. His oldest brother was living in Brooklyn, and so I came to him.
What was his name?
Bernhard Torsvik.
What?
Bernhard
Torsvik,
yeah.
Well, you were just going to be gone a year.
I was going to be gone a year.
Okay, so where do you... so you didn't take along a lot of things. It just closed, probably, huh?
Just close. Uh-huh. Nothing else but close.
And
not very much of that either, because even at that time, clothes from Norway was not like they were in this country.
Uh-huh.
So we had $50. We could... well, we had to have the $50 along with us to get in.
Where did you go by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
where did you sail from?
Kristiansand.
And what was the date? Do you remember?
Yeah, 7th of March in 1929.
And you went on what boat?
Stavanger.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Tell me about the trip. How you felt leaving Norway?
I didn't feel very much like anything like no, because I was seasick the whole time.
How about leaving Norway?
I was looking forward to it. Yeah, I was looking forward to it.
Did you were excited the whole time? Seasick the whole time?
From the first night out until 3 days after I landed in Brooklyn, I was seasick.
So you didn't get out of your room at all?
Yes, I did a little bit. And I met my husband. He's from the same hometown as I did. I'd never seen him. And my old boyfriend introduced me to him on the dock before I left. That's how I met my husband.
Your old boyfriend introduced you to your husband. Okay, so what was his name? Husband?
Olaf Jonsson. Olaf Johnson.
Johnson. And you met him then on the dock, and then were you together on the boat?
Well, I was in my bedroom in a stateroom sick the whole time. But he came and brought me water and stuff like that And the first nice days we had, it was an awful stormy.
What month again was this?
February. March.
Oh, yes, it would be.
It was awful stormy, and we had that underground, undersea volcano that burst by Newfoundland. And boy, that was awful. It was, the boat tilted. We thought for a while it was going to tip over. So I wasn't the only seasick one. We were all of us. But the first day after that, when we had just one day out of Newfoundland, it cleared up and it got calm. And my Olaf, he dragged me up to the deck. And he always laughed at that because he said it didn't do any good because the first thing it was over the railing.
Oh, really?
But I wasn't the only one. We were all of us sick. Even the captain.
He wasn't sick, though?
No, he wasn't sick.
How many days did it take?
It was supposed to take us 7 days. It took us 10. Or almost 10. That wasn't all because of the storm, but that was St. Patrick's Day. We were supposed to land in Brooklyn. And there was a holiday, and they didn't allow the boat to come in. We had to wait another day, and we had to spend 9-10 days on board there, and we thought that was kind of awful. We were moored outside, by the light boat, some miles out of Brooklyn.
You were still sick, though, even if the boat didn't move?
I was sick for 3 days after we got ashore.
So you don't really have very good memory of landing in New York or seeing the Statue of Liberty or anything like that?
Yes, I remember seeing the Statue of Liberty, and we didn't have to go to Ellis Island at that time.
Oh,
We landed right in Brooklyn, Southeastward in Brooklyn. I was up looking at everything and seeing it and was kind of excited in between throwing up. Almost so many of us were sick because of the weather.
Yeah. And did your uncle meet you?
Yes, he was in the dock, and my cousin. Yeah, I had met my cousin, had been in Norway just a couple of years before, so she knew me.
What was her name?
Margaret Torsvik. She lives in Dallas, Texas now.
Oh. How old was she? She
was a year younger than I was.
I see.
So we came, finally my uncle splurged. He knew I'd been sick, so he took a taxi out, and he lived in Woodhaven in Brooklyn. It took $5 for the taxi out, and at that time $5 was a lot of money. But he felt sorry for me. And then they tried to feed me when I came in, and I wasn't in the mood for eating anything.
No, I bet.
So And then the whole family, you know, I had quite a few relations there. They came to say hello to me, and I couldn't have cared less.
What did you do to get over it then?
Nothing, just took time.
Oh, didn't stay in bed though. Were you up and tried
to? I was up between times, yeah, but most of the time I stayed in bed, holding on to the...
The bed was still moving.
Bed was
still gone.
Yeah.
You were fortunate you didn't have to take the train or something to the Midwest.
Yeah. Oh, you said it.
Oh.
No, we're lucky.
What did you think of Brooklyn?
Dirty. Where we land on 30th Street, it's an awful dirty.
Is it?
It still is. It's, there's a lot of ships coming in there. There's a lot of longshoremen working there. And it is just dirty, mm-hmm. And it still is.
Mm-hmm.
I was there not long ago, and it still is. I guess where there's shipping, anything like that, it is.
Yeah, right. It was cold too, wasn't it, that time of year?
It was cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt good to get into my uncle's home, where it was nice and warm, and I could feel I could go to bed and just sleep.
It was nice to be among relatives,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
I had seen my uncle before when I was a little baby. He had been in Norway, and he loved kids.
That was nice.
So, but I didn't remember him, of course, except from pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But he remembered you probably.
Yeah, oh yes. So I stayed there until I got a job. And the first job I got was with a Jewish family.
How did you get it?
I don't really know.
Oh.
Probably through an office, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still sick. Really, it was just 2 weeks after I got assured that I got this job. And the very first day I was there, I was weak and I fainted on the kitchen floor. And it happened to be a Jewish holiday, and the Jewish lady, she was very, very nice. She couldn't even draw water to revive me.
They weren't supposed to do that on a Jewish holiday.
They can't turn on the lights, they can't draw water, anything like that. So she called my uncle and he came down to get me. So she said, well, as soon as I get well, to come down again. They were awful nice people. So after about 10 days, my uncle stopped by and said I probably was good enough to come. And they were among the first Jews that went to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So that job went out of the window. And that's too bad, because they were often nice people. When I was in bed at my uncle's house, he sent out the biggest basket of fruit I've ever seen in my life.
Is that right? What were their names? Remember that?
Oh, I should. No, I don't.
No.
What
did you have to do there?
Well, I was doing general housework. Was supposed to, which I didn't do very much of.
Oh, you weren't there long enough, were
no,
you?
It was just a less than a day.
Oh, just less than a day?
Yeah, less than a day before I got sick.
Oh, now was this an aftermath of the seasickness?
Yes, it was. And this lady, she sent out her personal doctor to see me.
Mm-hmm.
When the Jews are like you, they are very, very generous.
Mm-hmm.
I've met so many of them that it's just out of this world of generosity.
Right? Oh.
So, but then Olaf, he was working up in Scarsdale, outside of New York.
Now, had he planned to, that's where he was going to go?
Yeah, he had been in this country before, and he came back to his old job.
Now when did he come over here in the first place?
In 23.
23, and then
he
went
back
to
Norway
for his old job?
No, he went back to see his family, and then just happened that I came over on the same boat.
I see.
Lucky me.
Yes.
I was.
Yes.
And so he said, well, how about not living in Brooklyn Harbor, but coming out and work out where he was working. He was a chauffeur and caretaker of a big place in Scarsdale, from real nice peace people.
Farmer or something?
No. He and his mother, the boss and his mother, they had a business school in Brooklyn.
Mm.
And they were wealthy people, and so I got in there, and we had, Olaf was working there, and they had a nursemaid, and they had a governess, and they had a laundress, and they had a, I don't know, we were five people working
wow.
there.
Oh, you were a housekeeper?
Yeah, I was a cook.
Oh, you were the cook?
I was a cook.
And what nationality were these people?
Olaf, of course, was Norwegian.
No, I mean the people you worked for.
They were... Well, I guess you must call them American, because I think they've been there for years.
So they spoke only that?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And they were very nice. And I stayed there until I got married, until I got pregnant with my first child.
Did you have any difficulty with learning the language, or had you learned language in Norway?
No, I had learned English in Norway.
Oh, I see.
High school, you learn English from you start in high school.
Uh-huh.
And that was my specialty, it was languages.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you have a room there at this place then? And
a beautiful room.
Did you?
Private bathroom and everything else. I felt like I was in seventh heaven.
Oh, each one of the workers had a private bathroom?
Yeah. Well, the laundress didn't live there. She was Irish, and she lived in White Plains, went home every day. The nursemaid lived there. She was also Irish. Hold on. And she came from New Hampshire. But she was of Irish descent, and she had her same kind of room as I had, same bathroom, and it was very nice, and they were very nice people.
What kind of wages did you get? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I started with $50, and the very first... Yeah,
in my...
So we got $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And she came and handed me $60. She said, I worked so hard that I deserved it.
Really?
The month after, she upped it to $70. That's unusual at that time. That was real high wages in 29.
Oh, yeah.
And then after a while, Olaf and I, we got married, and we stayed there, continued staying there for a while, and I ended up with $90 a month, and
really?
That was all my girlfriends said that they were envious because none of them had that kind of wages.
You must have done a good job. Did you have to learn any particular kinds of different kind of cooking that you had in Norway?
Yes, but they liked Norwegian cooking.
Oh, so you went and cooked the way you were used to.
Well, yeah, no, I had to learn how to cook the American way. I remember the first time I baked a ham, I kind of flubbed that up.
Oh, what did you do?
I don't know.
Oh.
It wasn't the way it's supposed to be.
Hmm.
But I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
How about other things that you had to learn?
Just about everything. I mean, you had to... When the nursemaid was also the waiting on tables, and when she was off, I had to wait on tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, I had to learn with finger bowls and stuff like that. We never used that in Norway.
No.
And
wealthy people like that had everything very proper.
Yeah, they did.
Did you have to wear a particular uniform or something?
Yes, you had to use a good uniform, and they kept
black.
A uniform. No, white.
Mm.
And but no, of course, if I was waiting on table, it had to be black with a white apron. And so. No, they were awfully nice people, and
so even if you had to learn a lot of things, it was good because they were so helpful.
Yes, the man's mother lived with. She was part owner of the business school that Mr. Young had in Brooklyn. She was a very nice old lady. She taught me an awful lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come over to a strange country, there's an awful lot of new things that you've never seen before.
Sure.
And Well, I thought I was always brought up kind of proper in Norway. It still was a lot of difference in this country.
Did you have different things in the kitchen, too, that you had to use?
Oh, yes.
Like what?
Well, for instance, they had electric refrigerator.
Oh, they did.
I'd never seen one.
Uh-huh.
And there were different things, but you got used to that. And
did you have to plan the meals too?
No, she planned.
And she bought the groceries also.
She she ordered the groceries and she planned the meals and. If I didn't know anything about the meal she planned, she would tell me. She said, she gave me a big cookbook. Mm-hmm. I still have it somewhere, but I can't find it. I may have given it to one of the kids. I don't know.
So then Olaf was dating you while you were there?
Yes. He was most of the time staying in Brooklyn with the old lady, old Mrs. Young. She lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, he was staying there. How come?
Well, he worked for both of them.
Oh.
He was driving the old lady to the schools and so on. And then when we got married...
Well, tell me about how you were just dating and you decided to get married, huh?
Yeah, we had planned on that quite a way and we kind of time. So.
But you were going to go back to Norway.
Oh no, not after I met Olaf.
But you met him on the boat.
That's right.
You decided right away you weren't going to go back.
Not right away, but it didn't take so long.
Didn't it?
No.
Tell me about your wedding.
I don't know if you want to hear about that.
Sure I do.
We had friends living in White Plains, and we were going to get them to come with us as witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
We came up to the courthouse to get our license and find out when they could take us.
Mm-hmm.
The judge came in and he says, no, I can't, if you're going to get married, you've got to do it right away. We can't wait for anybody. He said he was going on play golf. So we tried to call our friends and tell them to come. They couldn't get hold of them. The phone was busy. We had figured we'd have an afternoon wedding or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So we came in and in the judge's chamber there. And the door sprang open to the next room. And there was a whole Italian family in there crying their hearts off. They had a son in there who was in jail. So our music for the wedding was Italian crying.
Oh, no.
It was quite really something.
Yeah.
We laughed at it afterwards, but...
So you got married right there?
Married right there.
You weren't in a church or anything?
No, in the courthouse. We had the judge's secretary, Miss Brown, she was one of the witnesses, and a state patrolman was the other one.
Oh.
So it was quite an adventure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you go anywhere for a job trip or anything? Or?
Well, we went down to Lakewood, New Jersey, to Olaf's sister. She lived down. She still lives down there.
Oh.
So we went down there, spent a week down there, and went back to work.
Uh-huh.
Worked for about a month when I got pregnant. And
Where did you live when you went back to work?
We lived first at 1 month, a little more, 6 weeks, I guess we were in Scarsdale, where we were working.
Where you were working?
I was still working for a while until I got so sick I couldn't.
Yeah, but you didn't live in the room that you had before.
Oh, no, we got a whole section of the house there. We got three rooms and bathroom. We had two bathrooms for the two of us.
What did the people think that you were working for? How did they feel about you getting married? Or did they know you were going to do it?
No, they didn't know it after I'd done it. Well, I don't know. They were awfully nice about it. And
they didn't say anything? You were
no.
They weren't surprised?
No, I don't think they were surprised.
Uh-huh.
They were. So we went back to... Of course, I was sick the whole time I was pregnant, just
you
like
had
I was...
You had an apartment, you were working, and you couldn't work more than about a month, you said?
About 6 weeks, 5-6 weeks I was working, and I got sick. No, I then...
But your husband kept working for them then?
Oh, yes. He worked there. And this was in 29.
Mm-hmm.
And in October 29, he was one of the guys that went broke completely. Mm-hmm. Our boss.
Oh, your boss did? Oh.
Yeah. The business school went down. And we kept on, Olaf kept on working there until next spring. But I was staying with his sister in Lakeville, New Jersey, until my baby was born.
Oh, how come you didn't stay there?
Well, I was too sick to stay alone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my sister in law was, she was real good.
You were sick the whole time?
Until I was laying on the delivery table.
Who was born then?
My oldest girl, Christine. She lives in Yelm.
Oh, she does. Yeah. Is she married? And
she's married, and she's got two kids. She had three. She lost a little boy.
Oh, what does her husband do?
He's retired from McCord.
Oh, he was, but he was in the service then.
Yeah, he was in the service, yeah.
What was his name?
Frank Ray.
Frank Ray?
Yeah. FDR, Frank Donald Ray. It's FDR.
Is it R-A-Y or...?
R-E-A.
R-E-A, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, your little baby, your girl was born, then what did you do?
Well, then we got our apartment ourselves first in Lakewood, New Jersey, close to my sister-in-law. And then Olaf got another job in New York. So we tried to get, it was a while before we got an apartment. We got an apartment up in Bronx.
Lived there. What is his job?
He was for Provident Loan Society. It's still in existence. It's a big loan society in Providence Loan Society. And he worked there. Guards and chauffeur and everything else. So he was, lived in Bronx until they decided, we lived in a big apartment building there, and then somebody else bought it and they were going to tear it down and build up an apartment, big apartment building. So we moved to Brooklyn where we had friends.
Mm-hmm. Their house or apartment?
Apartment. Mm-hmm. You couldn't afford to buy a house at that time.
No, that's right.
We didn't have any money.
That's,
I mean, we were...
Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there for quite a while. We had different apartments. It was awfully rough on Olaf because he had 2 hours drive to his work every day, back in 2 hours each way. So we looked around for a house. And we didn't find any we felt we could afford. At that time, you couldn't afford very much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Then my second girl was born in Brooklyn.
Oh, what's her name?
Ina. Ina Sylvia Wisner. She lives in Raymond.
Ina what? Sylvia?
Wisner.
Wisner?
Wisner, W-I-S-N-E-R.
She's a housewife?
She's a housewife, and she has a ceramic shop.
She has what?
Ceramic shop.
Oh. She married?
Oh, yes, she's married and she's got 5 kids. Mm-hmm. 4 of her own and a little adopted Indian boy.
Oh, is that right?
Okay, he's in the little, he's almost 16.
Oh.
He's my favorite of all, a grandchildren.
What does her husband do? What did he do?
He's been working for Weyerhaeuser, and he's a maintenance man down in Weyerhaeuser.
Mm-hmm.
He still is. He's one of few that they kept on. And Weyerhaeuser went down in Raymond, so he's still working for that.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, she was born, and then what?
And then my father-in-law got to be alone in Norway. He had his daughter living with him, but she got a job as a teacher in northern part of Norway, on one of the islands up there. So we decided we'd go home and take care of him.
Mm. When was this?
This was in 38.
Oh.
So we went to Norway.
You said two children, is that all then?
I had two children then, uh-huh. Yeah. And we were...
Did you take the Stavangerfjord back?
Yes. I've been in Stavangerfjord three. See, we were last time too in Stavangerfjord.
Were you sick again?
No. I grew out of that.
Oh.
Some reason or some other. I didn't feel awfully good, but I wasn't seasick at all, and everything was fine. Then, of course, we just got home in the, I don't say right time or wrong time, just before the war.
Okay, now where were you in Norway?
In Kristiansand, my hometown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He was raised there too, yeah. Olaf was too.
Yeah.
So you were there during World War II?
Yes, we were there during World War II, from the start of the finish.
What did your husband do?
Electrician.
He got a job as an electrician? Yeah. Had he been trained for that before?
Oh, yes, he had been trained for that.
But he never worked in that in America?
Oh, partly.
I see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But not as much as he would have liked to, but after he came back. And we stayed in Norway until after the war. My father-in-law died, and there was nobody. But we had to go home and take care of him. Nobody else was taking care of him. And he was alone.
How many years were you there?
9.5 years.
Oh.
Before we came back.
You had more children then, while you were there?
Yes, I had my boy.
Oh, what's his name?
Harald Torsvik Jansen.
Harald.
Uh-huh. No, Harald.
Yes. What does he do?
He is in Trojan, in the nuclear plant in Trojan. He's
Trojan,
where
is that?
In Oregon, right near in Oregon.
Oh.
He's got a real good job down there. He's also an electrician, but he's a plant, he's one of the ones that can start up and shut down the Trojan. The nuclear plant.
Oh, wow.
He lives in Longview.
Did he go to college? Was he trained for this?
He had 1 year of college. Mm-hmm. Then he went into the Navy and got into the nuclear system, and was 7 years in the Navy.
That's where he got his training.
Then. Almost got into trouble with Rickover.
With who?
Rickover, the head guy.
Oh, did he?
Well, he was in He was teaching nuclear in Harold was in Idaho Falls in Idaho. And the Vietnam War broke out, and Harold was dead set he was going to join up. And Rickover came in. He came, you know, and occasionally he was there and took care of his pupils, or whatever you can call them.
Oh.
And he said, Harold, if you go into the Vietnam War, I'm going to court-martial you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he said, put you up for captain's mast. So Harold said, why? He said, do you think America wants to spend $30,000 for you to go and get killed in Vietnam? I was kind of glad.
Yeah.
But I could see Harold's point. He was... he wanted to be in on it.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed here, then he came back here after he was finished there. He taught in Idaho Falls in 3 years, nuclear mm-hmm. technician.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and he got a job in Marshall Islands, from one end of the world to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Where he met his wife. He's mm-hmm. married to a Marshallese girl, a real nice girl.
To what girl?
No, she's not white. She's not Negro. She's just a Polynesian.
Oh, from Marshall Islands?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she's
really
pretty. Pretty, and she's smart as a whip.
You see? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Mm.
She's taking college courses. She had gone to American high school in Marshall Islands, but only through ninth grade. She took up college here in this country. She hasn't graduated for anything, but she's into everything. She is good. Mm-hmm. They got two little girls. Oh. I got to show you because they are beautiful.
See you afterwards. We'll get through. Uh-huh. Okay, you were in Norway. What affiliation did you have, you and your husband, in the war? We're talking about your other family.
Well, we all worked as we could. I was mainly... Olaf wasn't very much in it because he, on his work, he fell down and got hurt and was out of commission for almost a year. He cracked his brain and was out of commission. My brother was, of course, one of the leaders of the... a friend of his, a lawyer, Christian son, through him I got the job of listening to the English programs and translate to Norwegian from Churchill and everybody else talking. We had a radio in the basement, hidden. So Olaf and I usually went down and copied that and I translated to Norwegian. Sometimes I wonder how I could do it, but I did. My kids went to school. My oldest girl, you know, they had little rucksacks to carry our books in. Mm-hmm. And I put the underground papers in the rucksack, and her teacher took them out. I don't know what would happen if she was caught about it. But you didn't think about those things. You just did what you could. Yeah. So that's...
scary now when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, but you didn't think at that time. Then after Stalingrad, we get a lot of Russian soldiers, and it was 18,000 of them came from Stalingrad up to my home. And I've never seen people treated as bad as that. That was awful.
The Germans treated the Russians bad?
Yeah. They lived outside town, not so very far from where we lived at the time. And they practically had nothing to eat. So everybody who could spare one crust of bread, we tried to give it to them. I was caught once. I was told to pick it up again. I had a half a loaf of bread, and we didn't have very much ourselves. But these German soldiers were working on a ditch, and I went by, and I dropped it. We tried to drop it so they didn't see us, but this soldier saw me. He didn't do anything to me. He just told me that, pick it up and don't do it again. But we did, all through the war, whenever we could. We tried to help them because they had nothing. We didn't have much, but they had less. For shoes, they had newspapers and titles. In the middle of the winter, it was cold. And 43 was one of the coldest winters they ever had in Norway.
Was it?
Yes. And the Russian prisoners, they suffered an awful lot. It was terrible.
More than the Norwegians did?
Yes. At least we had our houses to live in. They had barracks. It was cold and... yeah. And after the war, the Russian soldiers... they tried to repay. You tell me when I gotta stop. And they made them little rings of metal they picked up on the ground and stuff like that and gave to the kids. Mm. When peace broke out, that's the expression we use in Norway, you know. Peace broke out. It didn't stop it. We had a big celebration in the park outside Kristiansand where the Russian soldiers were the main guests. And never pampered. Everybody tried to get the best they could. All of us, most of us, we had stored a little bit, hoarded a little bit something of stuff. Now, when I was pregnant with Harold, I was supposed to get white flour, a little bit not much, but white flour. We saved that for the day peace broke out, so we could have white cake. And the Russian soldiers hadn't seen anything like that, of course, since they were treated awful bad. I can't see how cultured people like the Germans are supposed to be, and are, really, how they could treat fellow prisoners. But then you saw how they treated the Jews down there, so... But yeah, they were trained for that. So it's... I don't know. It got good memories from the war, and it got some terrible ones. Because my brother was killed in 41. He was one of the squealers, a boy from my hometown, schoolmate of mine, gave him up as a... Yeah, well, we had them there too, you know. We had them squealers, and then my brother and my second cousin and another second cousin and an uncle. I had seven people killed and executed by the Germans. And I had one cousin who was supposed to be killed May 9th, 1945. We didn't know whether the peace came in time or what, but it did, just barely. They suffered an awful lot. His wife was pregnant, and they couldn't make my cousin talk. He was sending cables to England. He was a telegraphist. She was pregnant. To make him talk about one German woman, the German woman guards were worse than anybody else, beat her until she lost the baby, right in front of my cousin. Yes, it is. You wouldn't think that people could treat people like that. And I don't call them people. I hated the Germans for a long time. Now I feel more sorry for them, because they got to live with it. They got to live with that, so I really feel more sorry for them now than... But for a long time, I can't describe it anything else but hate. So I have German friends. Still got German friends here in Shelton. We don't talk about it at all, and I never tell them about it. But we had friends in Brooklyn that we used to go around with a lot. When we came back in 48, we went to look them up. And Fred and Frieda, the Germans, he said, no, he said, I can't even talk to you, he said, because you'll hate us, and I can't see that. We tried to tell them we didn't, but we never saw them again. Mm.
They felt guilty.
Yes, they did. And I can't really see why they felt guilty. He had an old mother living in Germany, and they tried to get him, Fred, in as a Nazi. And to get him in, he refused. He was in this country. They jailed his old 82-year-old mother, kept her in jail for 4 months. So what do you do? It was awfully rough on him. But he still felt, so I don't feel that they should have felt any guilt about it, but they did. A lot of Germans do, and still do. Yeah, my father-in-law was dead, and we thought we'd go back here. My youngest daughter wanted to come back. They were both born in this country, and they wanted to come back. Mm. So we thought, we're not going to split up the family, so we went back.
How old was she?
She was seven. We went back in 38. She was born in 32. She was 6 years when we went to bed. We were then 9.5 years. She was 15 when we came.
Still wanting you back.
Yeah. Well, too many sad memories from the war, I think.
Yeah.
And I can see that. I wasn't. To me, I could have stayed in Norway. Although it was rough. And a lot of our friends were killed, and a lot of our Jewish friends in Norway. We didn't have so very many Jews there, but we had some and good friends. 1,400 Jews went to Nazi camps. 14 came back. And a lot of them were classmates of mine, and not a lot of them, but a few were classmates and good friends. And it was just, no, it was just spoiled for me for a long time.
So we came back and came to where?
Then we came, first we came to Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
To Lakewood, to my sister-in-law, and then a friend of Ola's, electrician out here in Hawkfield. He called him up and told him to come out, we got a job for you out here. So we were in Hawkeye for a few years.
Hawkeye, so then you took the train out across, or?
No, he bought a truck drove out.
Oh.
And that was quite an experience.
Oh, and had you taken all your belongings with you to Norway, your furniture?
Most of it. Whatever was good, we did.
Uh-huh.
We brought some with us, but not back with us, but not much.
Well, you didn't.
No.
So you were pretty well. You could put everything in the truck.
Yeah. So we drove over here. We had a grand time going over there.
What year was that now? You drove?
48. Fall of 48.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, my son is the only kid that ever stood up all across America.
He stood up in front.
He couldn't, he was too small to
sure.
to sit on and see, so he stood up.
Yeah. He came out to Hopium, so what did you think of?
Well, and we were there 3 years, and then he was transferred down to Eureka, California.
Oh.
And we were there 3 years. But then my grandkids started coming, and we decided we'd come back to Washington.
Oh, they were living here then, your children were married, getting
They were both married here, and one, one was in Lakewood. She's one living in Yelena, and the other one was down in Raymond. And,
mm-hmm.
and the grandkids started coming, and he liked to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. And then
did he get a job here then?
For a while he was just taking any kind of job he could get.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got a job here for Simpson, and he worked there until he died.
Your job?
Yeah.
Simpson?
Yeah.
What is Simpson?
Lumber company.
Oh,
this one of the bigger ones here.
Yeah, so he didn't work as an electrician then?
Yeah, he worked as an electrician.
Mm-hmm. You get a house here?
Yeah, we bought a house, and then he worked there until he retired, and then he died just 2 years after. So. But we had another trip to Norway.
You did?
And when he retired, yes, we had a trip to Norway. And he went all over Norway and come back in here, and he got sick. And
did you do the swamper fjord again?
Yes.
You didn't fly?
No. We flew when we went back to Norway, yeah. In 70, we went back to Norway, and we flew both ways then. Yeah. And same, my daughter and I went in 76, we flew both ways.
Now, did you see a lot of changes when you went back, or had you been going so many times that you didn't really?
Oh.
Had they rebuilt a lot of places after the war?
Yes, they had. My hometown was 15,000 people when we left.
Mm-hmm.
No, there are about 75,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the same all over country. It's growing. And funny as it is, we always considered Norway a pretty poor country.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They have a living standard as high or higher than this country.
Yes.
So...
Did you work at all after you were married?
No.
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 You never worked out or anything?
No, I had the kids and...
Yeah. Did you keep up the traditions in your home?
Oh, yes, yes. And I still do. And my kids still do.
Do they?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Christmas is a big day for all of them. And even my Marcelise granddaughter, well, it's hard to believe. She'd never seen snow in her life when they come over. She's an expert skier. They got two little kids. One is 5 and one is, will be 10. Love skiing. The only thing that my granddaughter doesn't like with the cold weather, when her face gets cold. But they were supposed to go up to Rainier and ski this last weekend, but my son got sick, so he didn't go.
I suppose they all speak Norwegian, too, usually.
I wouldn't say they speak Norwegian. My oldest daughter does. My son says he can't speak it. He understands everything. He can speak it if he wants to. My younger daughter, she doesn't want to speak it. She understands everything. But she doesn't want to. Yeah, they went to high school there, so they. It's just laziness of her partner. She doesn't do it. But no, I think she kind of regrets she doesn't keep it up.
Sure.
She would like to have her kids.
We all been active in the church.
Oh yes. Yeah, both in Norway and here, we always have been.
Do you have an office or anything?
No, not now. I'm too old. Oh, yeah, I several times, in both in Eureka and in Aberdeen, but not now. Jack of all trades, I would say, anywhere where they could fit me in. Belonged to Sons of Norway for 30 years. I got life membership there. And
So have you been with Scandinavian organizations?
Yes. Yeah. So.
Did you have an office in Norway?
I did. I was social director down in Eureka for a couple of years, and I ended up as a vice president. Then we moved back up here again, and I just have small offices. In I'm too old now to having any. I'll be 75 pretty soon, so I can't.
But you still go.
Oh yes. Yeah. Oh yes. I'm still very active. Yeah. 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 So we have a Sjøen Jordan, Mrs. Rasmussen was down there. She is.
Where do you go to Central Norway?
Olympia.
Oh, you go
away
to Olympia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of.
When did you get your citizenship papers?
In 1954 in Eureka. We had moved back from Eureka, we would come up here, so we had back in. Olaf was citizen before we went to Norway. I just had my first papers out. Of course, you can't stay out of the country more than 5 years.
Yeah, so did
you lose it? We lost it. And so we had to start. We were on what they call a preferred list, so we got in earlier than a lot of other people. So we became citizen again pretty soon. Oh, there's a lot of history in their lives, isn't there?
Yes, I should say.
Yeah.
Please share something else and share it in Norwegian.
Well, I don't know. I think I've talked an awful lot.
How about just something in Norwegian, like a prayer or a poem or anything?
I got the sniffles. See my Norwegian stuff around the walls here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we obtained. It's kind of funny. You come down to Longview to my son's place. They say the table grace. My daughter-in-law says it in Marcelese, and my son says it Norwegian. We say use it. Jesus navn går vi til bord, spiser, drikker på ditt ord. Det er Gud til å lære oss en gavn, så får vi med Jesus navn. And my two little granddaughters, a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old, they make up their own in English. So we have 4 different languages.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, we belong to our Savior's Lutheran up here.
Mm-hmm.
church. So